We have a few short readings from Scripture this morning. The first one is from Joshua chapter 3, from verse 1 to 6. Then we will just touch base quickly in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, and then chapter 4, from verse 1 to 2. So very short readings from Scripture this morning. Before we read that, let's just ask our Lord Jesus to open the words of this words that's in front of us to our understanding, Lord. Lord, not only to open it to our understanding, but to take these words, make it truly part of who and what we are. Lord, so that when we have this teaching inside of us, that we can use this to bring your kingdom to this place, Middelburg, where you have placed us. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, who are Levites, carrying it, you are to move out from your position and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 900 meters between you and the ark, and do not go near it. Then Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Joshua said to the priest, "Take up the ark of the covenant and cross over ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. Now turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. Chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. May the Lord bless these words to our understanding. So we've been talking about the return from exile, an exile very much in which we find ourselves for these past few Sundays of Lent and Ash Wednesday as well. And today we're on another journey. It's a journey to help us to understand how we are actually in a journey every day of our lives. We on a journey as we stand here, on a journey that hopefully for all of us one day will end with eternal life. So this is a journey that everybody in this world find themselves on. But not everyone knows where this journey is supposed to be going or where this journey is leading to. This is also a journey that the people of Israel went on after they left Egypt. We've already talked last week about how God saved them by bringing them through the waters of the Red Sea. Remember how they were chased by the Egyptians, how they stuck between the sea and the Egyptian army. And God led them through. When they came to the water, God put himself as their protector between the army of Egypt and the people of Israel, and God opened the sea for them and they could go through. And remember how we said that this was, in a sense, very much how the nation of Israel was born. Before that, they were not a nation. As they went through the sea, as they were baptized by the sea, they became the nation of Israel. But when they came to the other side of the Red Sea, their problems did not end. There's no ways that life was now suddenly all great. Milk and honey, that came later. They came through the Red Sea and they were on the journey to the Promised Land. But life was harsh. We read in Scripture that they found themselves in wilderness. In a wilderness. Now what do you think a wilderness, when they speak of a wilderness, would look like? I grew up in Humansdorp, and when my parents or somebody spoke about wilderness, I was thinking of a lush green place just down the coast from us. beautiful. Everybody wanted the beach house there. It's not a place that you feared. It's a place you wanted to be. But we know that this wilderness where the Israelites found themselves in was actually a desert. A desert with very little food, with almost no water, a desert with dangerous animals, all kinds of snakes, scorpions, lions, or a type of lion, all kinds of wild animals. It was a wilderness that was to be feared, and a wilderness that people did not want to go into. It was not a place that you looked forward to. It was not only a place that was lonely, filled with wild animals, without food and water, but according to the Bible, it was also a place of evil, a place of separation. So if somebody was asked to go away from the community because they had some illness or because they killed somebody or behaved badly, if somebody was asked to do this, they would have been sent into the wilderness. Not only was the place where people separated other people from themselves, but it's also a place where people were separated from God. This was the place where God led the people of Israel into. But when God led them into this wilderness, God also provided for them. God provided everything they needed for them. Just as God provides for us while we're in the wilderness, while we're in a place where we are separated from God's presence, He still provides for us because He's already chosen us, just like He's chosen the Israelites. So God leads them into this place, this wilderness, and He provides for them. He provides for them in the form of manna. He provides for them in the form of water from a rock. And He protects them from the animals, the snakes in this desert, and He protects them from all the enemies in this desert. But God does even more than that. While they were in the desert, God even dwells with them. All the way through this journey that they go through this desert, God is with them. God's with them in all sorts of things, like the clouds and the fire. And God, for 40 years, journeys through this wilderness with the people of Israel. They found themselves in this wilderness for 40 years, not because God planned it. God wanted to lead them straight into the promised land, straight from exile, straight from captivity and slavery. God wanted to lead them straight into the promised land. But because the people of Israel sinned against God, they found themselves in this wilderness. Yet, God never deserts them. And He kept on providing for them. And He kept on giving them and protecting them until the journey was over. And this journey ended for them when they entered into the promised land. God provided for them in the promised land too, but it was in a different way. It was a different type of provision than what they had received in the desert. And then God provided not only for them, but also for us, when He gave us His Son Jesus to take away all our sins. So we've said, our life is a constant journey, and we are often lost in the wilderness of sin, and we cannot find our own way out of it. And we would have died in this wilderness if it wasn't for this fact that God provided His Son Jesus to lead us to the promised land of heaven and the promised land of eternal life. And the way that Jesus did it in was, is that He went to the cross and washed away our sins so that we can once again be reunited with God. So we are no longer lost in the wilderness of sin. We are no longer lost and will die because our sin has removed us from God. Now we find ourselves that we actually live with God. All of us here, we are living with God. Every time you open your Bible, every time you pray, every time you worship to God, every time you receive your blessings from God, we are living with God. But one day, we will live with God forever in a promised land that is given us. And that promised land is eternal life. And we receive that because God provided a son for us, a son to bring us safely through this wilderness of this life of death that we find ourselves into. And this son will guide us through to an everlasting life. So this journey that we're on, if you think about it, it's actually a pretty big journey. It's a journey from where we were removed from God to a journey where we will find ourselves forever in the presence of God. And it's a very dangerous journey. And we have to thank God for providing Jesus to lead us through this journey, just like God has provided the cloud and a cloud of smoke and a cloud of fire to lead the Israelites. And just as God has given them the Ark of the Covenant, showing God's presence when they were journeying through their journey. So is it with us. Jesus is the one who is with us. Jesus is God's presence with us as we journey through this life. It's not easy. This journey for us before we enter a promised land of eternal life, it's not an easy journey. The people of Israel, for a moment I can almost not read my handwriting. Kali will laugh at this because he knows about this. The people of Israel found themselves for 40 years stuck in a wilderness. And this was the result of their unfaithfulness and a lack of trust in God. A lack of trust that even Moses had. When they sent out the 12 spies, 10 came back and said, "We can't go there. This is a land of giants." 2 came back and said, "This is a land of milk and honey." Even Moses had his concerns. They were in the wilderness because they were unfaithful to God. And so all of those who were unfaithful, all of those who left Egypt, died out first before God led Joshua and the rest of them into the new and promised land. And it's interesting to see when they approached the promised land, they came from an angle or came from a place where they've never been before. They've always looked at other places. This is the first time that they came to the River Jordan and say, "Let's go through the river. Let's enter a promised land through this way." And there's a reason that they take this new approach. This is a more difficult approach than any of the other approaches. Because this approach in the book of Joshua is the approach that God will use to exalt Joshua as the new leader so that people will follow him as they had followed Moses. And so we've read that as they came to the river, as they sat there next to the Jordan, they waited there for 3 days. Did you see that when we read that scripture? They waited there for 3 days. The reason takes us back to Jesus. Jesus, before he could overcome death, before he could be resurrected, had to spend 3 days in his grave. So the 3 days that the Israelites waited before they went through this river into the promised land was like the 3 days Jesus spent in the grave. And when the 3 days were over, the people of Israel were told to follow the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark stood in the middle of the river, and the people came past, and they entered into the promised land. And this is what God's given them. And it's interesting that when we hear that Jesus was baptized in Matthew, he went to the river Jordan. He went to the same river where they've entered through into the promised land. The same river where they've, after they've spent 40 years in the wilderness, were set free and given the promised land. Jesus went there to be baptized. And Jesus, as we hear his story of how he was baptized, we hear that he go to John. And we often focus on the part where he goes to John to be baptized. But we forget the place where Jesus went to be baptized. And the place he went is this river, the River Jordan. The very same river where the people of Israel came in through. And it's significant for us that as Jesus went there, as he came to the river, and as he was baptized, he left the promised land and he went into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days. So the Spirit led him from the promised land through the very same river into the very wilderness where Israel spent their time. And there Jesus was tempted. And now I hope I don't forget anything, because I've lost my handwriting, I've lost my place where I was, so the notes have gone out the door. But Jesus had to go in the wilderness to be tempted and to resist all his temptations, so that when he was ready, so when he was the perfect lamb, and when it was his time to be put on the cross for our sins, that he could, that he had faced the very temptations that we are facing. That he could say to the devil, I've taken this. I've taken these temptations. I've overcome them. And for my, on the behalf and for the sake of my people, I've done this. And so therefore, Jesus could take our sins upon himself. But there's something else happening here. Not only could he take our sins, because he could resist all the temptations we struggle to resist, he also took all the sins that was in the promised land, and he took it back across the river, back into the wilderness, back into exile, back to Satan, back to where it belonged, all on our behalf. So through Jesus, we are set free from sin, because he's taken all our sins and take it back to where it belongs, to that place of exile, there where Satan resides. Jesus takes that back so that you and I can be reunited with our God, so that you and I can live in a perfect life, perfect harmony with our God once more, so that you and I, when we finish this journey, that we can go into the promised land of everlasting life, a place where the righteous God does not want any sin. There's no sin allowed there. Jesus takes us on this journey so that when we get there, then our lives can be pure and fine and great, and that we can spend the rest of our eternity with God, our Creator. The first exile was when Adam and Eve were removed from the Garden of Eden. The people of God then were exiled. They had lived in the wilderness. They traveled through the world until they landed up in Egypt, and then were taken through to the promised land of Canaan. The second, third, fourth, and all the other exiles happened when people sinned. Even when people were exiled, the people of Israel were exiled into Babylon and to Assyria, they were asking, is God still with us? Is God with us? He's taken away from his temple. He's taken us away from the holy city. Is he still with us? And I think people often nowadays still ask that question when we look at our lives and see how broken and how full of mess it is. Is God still with us? God was all the time through. Every time Israel found himself in exile, God was with them. Just as God is with us. If you find yourself in exile today, if you found yourself in a wilderness today, if you found yourself in a place where you feel you don't know if God is with you, know this, that God is with his people, even in exile. And God, through Jesus, lead us back from exile into his presence, into his promised land, into life everlasting. God is with us. Let us pray. Father God, we stand as people who live in exile. Lord, we stand as people who are stuck in a wilderness. Lord, because we are not faithful. Lord, because we cannot trust in you fully like we should be trusting in you. But Lord, we also stand as people who know that we had a journey. Lord, and this journey will lead us back to you. And this journey and the way you lead us is through Jesus Christ, who's already overcome everything that we need to overcome. And Father, so this morning, as we know that God is with us, we also know that our trust, our hope, and everything we have is in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord, and this morning, we commit ourselves once again to fully trust and fully believe that he is our Lord and Savior. And so, Father, as we journey this journey, we thank you for Jesus. And we pray that he will always be our guide through this Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.